Hello, my friends, and welcome again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm Paul. It's the ninth day of April, and thank you for joining me on the journey through the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 11. We've been talking for a couple of days about this encounter in which Jesus casts out a demon, is accused of doing it through the power of Beelzebub, and gives his famous house divided against itself cannot stand speech. And at the end of the speech, he makes this statement from verse 23 of Luke 11, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Now, he doesn't mean physically. We know this for two reasons. One is obvious. If he means physically, then none of us are with him. I mean, we didn't physically gather with Jesus. Like, we're not able to see him in the flesh and follow him up and down the shores of Galilee. The second reason that we know this isn't literal, or at least it has some sort of subtext to it behind it, is because at one point John tells Jesus that he saw a man casting out devils in Jesus' name, but he wasn't one of the disciples, so John rebuked him. And Jesus said to him, "Don't do that. If he's not against me, he's for me." A statement that means, I think, what it sounds like. If we're not working against Jesus, we're for Jesus. This is a very clear line, in other words. It's no ambiguity. You're either for him or you're against him. You're either with him or you're not. This isn't nothing to do with the physical following of Jesus. So what might be the subtext behind Luke 11:23? "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Well, context is king, and we need it. And the context of this story is that Jesus has been accused of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, to which he responds, "Well, that'd be silly. I mean, if Satan's going to divide his own kingdom would fall." And then he gives that little illustration about a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, the goods are safe, but when someone stronger attacks and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and he divides his spoil. Well, this is Jesus talking about Satan being the one who guards his own house, a strong man in complete control of his house, and in complete control in the over the people under his power. Jesus pitches himself as the stronger one. He who is stronger than Satan is the one who's going to overthrow Satan. And it's a little parable, really, that teaches that the kingdom of God is not just helpful teaching. The kingdom of God comes with the power to overcome the forces of darkness. So the kingdom is not a finely wrapped group of principles. If, you know, the kingdom happens as you quote these maxims or live this out, and it's really just your kingdom, because this is kind of how I think sometimes we interpret the kingdom. You know, it's to help you overcome your own darkness, and you do it through living the principles. And I wonder sometimes if a little bit of the pushback against, say, the Sermon on the Mount, because there is a little bit of that sometimes in New Covenant circles, like it's people go, "Well, it's too works-driven." I wonder sometimes if the pushback is because we know that you don't bring the kingdom about by doing things. We're right. I mean, I think that's right. You don't bring it about. That's not a good reason to ignore the Sermon on the Mount, because it's not about bringing the kingdom about. It's about living the constitution of the kingdom. Here's what the kingdom looks like. But in doing so, we're not packaging a bunch of well-crafted principles. We're presenting a kingdom that comes with power. Which leads us to our verse for the day, verse 23. "Whoever's not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters." So in context, Jesus is telling us that there's no neutrality. The message of the kingdom that Jesus has been presenting, and that's all Jesus has been presenting at every turn in the Gospels. When he goes to preach, he preaches the gospel of the kingdom. And that message brings the possibility of overcoming evil, breaking the back of the powers of darkness. And if you reject that message, then you're accepting the way of evil, and that the way of evil can win. There's no middle course. In other words, Jesus comes to bind the strong man. It's what the kingdom does. When we talk about the kingdom expanding, we're talking about the complete overthrow. The complete overthrow of the forces of darkness. That's the destiny of the kingdom. To not just exist as a covert operation in the middle of a dark world, but to fully destroy the works of darkness. That's why I still believe in an apokatastasis. Why I still believe in a Jesus comes to bring the restoration of all things, to completely bring the fullness of the kingdom into reality, to completely overthrow the powers of darkness, to break the back, so to speak, of Satan. So whoever's not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters is a kingdom terminology. Look, he goes, in regards to the kingdom, in regards to the strong man of this house, this world, there's only one way to approach it. If you're not in that way, then you're in the other way. And the only way to approach it is to approach it through the lens that a new king is on the scene and all other powers will break. And all other powers will come down. This gives me great hope. And the great hope is that no matter how bad it is, when you take a look at society or governments, economies, whatever. And that, micro or macro, the whole thing or your whole thing, your whole life. Take a look. And it's bad and it's dark and sometimes it's just straight up evil. It's not the end of the story. It is not going to be just the way it is for time and eternity, and we're just going to learn to get along with it. The fullness of the kingdom of God will be manifest, and Jesus is Lord. Or as we're so fond of saying in this Easter season, Christ is King. Christ is King. Kingdom. King over a dominion. Thank God for that. Jesus talks a little bit about unclean spirits, what happens, and I want to get into that, but I want to give it its own attention. We'll do that tomorrow from the next verse in our progression through Luke 11. We'll see you then. God bless.